Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents, by parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. As always, this is a live show and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. Today's topic is discipline. Discipline can mean different things like self-control, orderliness, but today we're talking about enforcing rules in the house. Every parent has their unique approach to this. Some of us have been used to pretty strict methods to make us behave as kids, and sometimes we follow the same methods with our kids. Social customs also make us approach discipline in a certain way, especially in this country where corporal punishment is frowned upon. But regardless of what methods are available or socially acceptable, it would be good to know what works. If you're tired of arguing with your kids over the rules of the house and would like to find some alternative methods, today's show is for you. Once again, the call-in number is 510-770-1550. With me in the studio today are family psychologist Sushma Trivedi and Kavita Malik, who's an early childhood educator with experience teaching different ages in different countries. She's also the parent of two boys. Welcome back to the show, Sushma.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And welcome, Kavita.
Thank you, Vidya.
Sushma, you say that there are many parenting styles, each with its own brand of discipline. Can you elaborate on what are these styles?
Well, the psychological research has identified roughly four parenting styles. So in one parenting style, the parent acts as the boss. You know, I am the boss, you do what I tell you to do.
That sounds familiar.
That's very familiar. And the other parenting style is parent as the servant. Mm-hmm. I'll do things for you. And, you know, that is also very familiar.
That is very familiar. And sometimes in the same parent.
That too. And often, these are also predominant styles of parenting in Indo-American households.
I see.
You know, if we look back, majority of households will have dad as the disciplinarian, the boss, and mom is the what we call the nurturing one.
Right.
Permissive, she's doing the laundry, she's cleaning the rooms, she's doing everything
The child. So true.
Okay, so, you know, we'll talk more about it. And the third parenting style is parent as the leader. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this parent uses reasoning with the children. Mm-hmm. He helps the children identify the pros and cons of the choices mm-hmm. that they make. And after that, the choice that the child makes, the parent lets them put up with the consequences mm-hmm. and basically, you know, repair the damage that their choice may cause or just see what they can do with their, you know, basically deal with the consequences of the choice that they have made.
Right.
And then there is another parenting style, not very common, which is inconsistent parenting. Mm-hmm. And these are parents, you know, one day they are up, the other day they are down. And this kind of style may result because of some health problems in the family, you know, psychological or you know, physical. So if there is a chronic illness and the parent is not feeling well, they may be irritable and all that. When they're feeling better, they're fine.
They're better parents.
Yes. Or if there is substance abuse in the family, then...
But let me tell you something. Yeah. This inconsistent parenting, as a parent of two kids, honestly, I feel that I can be inconsistent sometimes, and it's not necessarily a health issue, but more confusion about what works, what doesn't work, and I guess that's why we're having the show today. Some days I may try a certain approach, see if it works with the kids, and it doesn't work, okay, let me try something different. So in a way, we're all groping for that right combination of skills to help us deal with conflict in the family. Kavita, what would you say if now Sushma has talked about these parenting styles? Do you feel one that you recognize?
Definitely, both as a child, when I was parented, I would think it was more the authoritarian style mm-hmm. that, you know, children are to be seen and not heard.
Right.
You do as I say, don't question. And coming to this country, I've had an interesting journey. In India, I was teaching in the Delhi University, so I was teaching adults. Then I went to the Middle East, and both my children were born there, and then I was teaching teenagers. And then when I came to America, because of visa restrictions, I couldn't work. So I went to volunteer in my son's classroom, who was a kindergartner. Mm-hmm. And that kind of was an eye-opening moment for me, because I had never ever thought how do children learn? You know, for me, it was more like a passive thing. You go to class, you, okay, you know, I was a interested student, so I asked questions, but more or less the experience was very passive.
Right.
So here, being made to think and value somebody, even a five-year-old child, why do you think this way?
Uh-huh.
What do you want to do? How would you like to do it? And that's what encouraged me to go to Ohlone College, and I did my ECS units, and then I entered this field, and I continued to be there for the last 14, 15 years. And
so you've seen two very different approaches. One
right.
is the authoritarian style that I was also exposed to when
right.
we were growing up.
Right.
And coming here where even a five-year-old's opinion is valued. So
absolutely.
That actually leads to a tremendous amount of confusion, I think, for people like us who are straddling two cultures, that we are used to a certain style of parenting, but here we are exposed to another style. That one worked for us for all practical purposes. We are successful people. That's why we are here in this country, and we have made something of ourselves. So it feels like, oh, that model worked. So why can't we try the same thing with our kids here? But somehow that breaks down. And I guess we'll discuss more of that.
Yeah.
But I just want to quickly go back to Sushma and say, when you elaborated on the styles, is the style dependent on who's doing the parenting? Of course, you said that, you know, that's a parenting style. But is it also dependent on the child, that some parenting styles work with some kids and some don't?
Yeah. So I also want to answer something that you brought up earlier, and
mm-hmm.
I will answer this question too, that in terms of inconsistent parenting I'm talking about is almost pathological.
Oh,
what
I see.
You are talking about is absolutely fine.
Right.
And it's even better if you let your child know that, you know, it's a little bit different from what we have done before, but, you know, mommy is also
learning
to figure out.
Yeah, I want to talk about that later. Okay. I wanted
and
this thing, yes.
That's a mm-hmm. very, very positive thing
okay.
for a child to
okay.
realize that, you know, mommy is also learning, you know. Now, coming back to, is the parenting style dependent only on the parent or on the child?
Mm-hmm.
It is largely dependent on the parent. However, the child has his or her own temperament,
right.
and they do give rise to a certain dynamic between the parent and the child. So think about parent being authoritarian or the boss,
mm-hmm.
and the child being driven by attention-seeking behavior. You know, child's temperament
okay.
is such that the child tends to seek attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if that happens, then the child can get very frustrated, and parents are kind of, you know, not as responsive, and they just do what we are telling you.
Right.
And the child can feel very frustrated.
What about a stubborn child?
Stubborn child.
Right.
So if the child is driven by power,
mm-hmm.
I want to have my way too,
mm-hmm.
and dad wants to have his way, then there is sort of power struggle, but of course, child being child does not win the power struggle.
Right.
So then he may
You'll be surprised how many times that's not true.
You know, power struggles are just not good. But if that happens, then this child will act out when parents are not there. He may resort to destructive behaviors out of revenge. And again, I mean, so, you know, in some parents, again, just need to be really, really.
So we have to modify our style based on the temperament of our children?
Absolutely.
Oh, that
and
is fascinating.
You know, it is, I also want to warn all parents who are listening. It is very, very difficult to change your style. Just as Kavita said, that it came to me as a shock when I saw five-year-olds being talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to school and I learned. And I. So it's really, if parents decide that they really need to make some changes, they need to make a commitment to it and be with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be ups and downs
right.
in the process. Making a change is very, very hard.
I want to discuss more, you know, on ask some practical questions about certain situations and how certain kinds of discipline work on that. I think it's time for a break. You've given us a lot to think about. Guys, if you want to call in and ask our expert about your particular problem, our number, as always, is 510-770-1550. We're going to go on a short break. We're going to think about what we've heard so far. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about kid-specific discipline ideas. Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm your host, Vidya, and today we're talking to guests Sushma and Kavita about discipline in the house, the rules of the house, how do we make sure that we get the kids to do what we want them to do. And before the break, we were talking to Sushma about the different parenting styles. I'll quickly summarize. We have, and tell me if I'm wrong, Sushma, we have the authoritarian style, which is do as I tell you to, because I say so, kind of thing. The second one is the nurturing style, where you're doing everything for the child, including cleaning their room, doing their laundry. The third one is being, you know, an inconsistent parent, which is maybe because of health issues or your own psychological issues, you're up and down and you're completely confusing the child. And what do we have as the fourth one?
Is the leadership style, the authoritative style. And that is the style that there is almost a consensus in the psychological community that that is the best,
the
style
best
to
style.
Parent the child. And
we'll elaborate on that a little bit, but before we went on break, actually, no, a couple of things. The first is, while we were on break, we got a call from our listener who said that she was really interested in listening to the show, but she was really busy and she would really like to catch the show at a later date. So for those people who are traveling and maybe not be able to listen to the show continuously today but want to catch up on what was being said during the show, just want to quickly mention that you can go to the indiacc.org website and go to the Parent Talk page. Recording of the show will be put up later. By Monday, I'll be able to put that up. And the second thing is, before we went on break, Kavita wanted to share her thoughts on how rewarding it is to be able to change your style. If you have a certain style, but you realize that you're going the wrong way, you try to change it to the right one. And she had some thoughts on that, Kavita?
Yeah, like Sushma was mentioning, that it's really hard to make that change since, you know, it's ingrained and it's part of our culture. But from my personal experience, the commitment to make the change is absolutely rewarding in terms of the change in the quality of the relationship that I experienced with my children. To give you a small example, when my younger son was around 3, he loved changing his clothes. He just would go and pull out all the clothes from his dresser and keep changing. And every morning when it was time to get ready, there was this power struggle in our house. And
sounds very familiar.
Initially, it was, no, I have chosen this, you have to wear it. And of course, it would spoil our entire morning. So after having gone to these classes and, you know, you learn these big words, empowerment and validation and acknowledgement. But, you know, in practical experience, it's really simply giving child choices. But those are choices that you have selected. So it's not that I go open the closet and say, choose what you want. I choose 3 things and then have him choose from that. So I'm giving him a choice. I'm empowering him. I'm acknowledging his desire to dress himself. And at the same time, I'm limiting his choices to 3. And that, you know, it's not an oversimplification. It does work.
Sushma, what do you think of that
absolutely.
Strategy?
Absolutely. This is exactly what authoritative parenting is about. You set limits, but you give them choices.
Mm-hmm. And leadership parenting.
Leadership parenting. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, depending on the age, mm-hmm. right? So the age, when your kid is in elementary school, you can mm-hmm. give them choices about clothes. But, mm-hmm. you know, as they get older, the stakes get higher
right.
in terms of risky behaviors.
Let's talk right? about that. So let's talk about discipline at different ages.
Yes. And so, you know, when you're talking about different ages, your strategy needs to be different
okay.
for disciplining. And you also need to be very careful about how you approach it, right? And you need to really set the stage from the beginning.
Okay. So let's work it out. Let's take young elementary school kid. What okay. would be the appropriate disciplining
well,
mechanisms at
I
that
point?
I
would say even earlier than that.
Okay.
Okay, let's say a 2-year-old,
mm-hmm.
a toddler, mm-hmm. right? The toddler starts to throw a tantrum, you
okay.
know, throws himself on the ground, and parent should just walk away instead
okay.
of picking up the toddler and saying, oh, honey, what's wrong? Why are you feeling like that? Ignore the misbehavior.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The child is likely to follow you wherever you are going and then throw himself down again, move away again.
What is the signal? Okay. What is the message you're sending?
The message you are sending him, this is not good behavior. Whatever problem you're trying to solve, this is not the way to solve it.
But you know, parenting books here will yeah. say, don't say no to the child.
Yes, don't say no.
Okay.
Ignore it. Ignoring
okay.
is not saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then if the child might say, I'm fussing. And you say, oh, really? What happened? What makes you fuss?
Mm-hmm. And then start the dialogue.
But
what if the child is like saying, if you don't do this, you know, it's doing something that may be hurting himself or herself.
Yeah.
Say they are banging their head against a wall or something, or hitting something, or taking an object and being destructive. Let's put it that way. Can you still ignore?
If they're being destructive, you need to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they are hitting something with a hammer, take the hammer away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so discipline, D-I-S-C-I. I always say C is for control the environment.
Okay.
Not the child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you have a small child who can be destructive, make sure that there is nothing around him.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that he can harm.
Okay.
Okay, so control mm-hmm. the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So D, distract, depending on how small the child is. Distract, ignore, control the environment. You know, these are some of the strategies you can take with very small children.
Mm-hmm.
When children start to grow bigger, you need to enforce consequences more.
Okay.
And you know, once they learn to respect that you mean what you're saying, it will get easier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's only in the beginning when you're making a change that things are much harder.
Okay.
When they're a teenager, I have a lot of parents who would come and say, oh, you know, my daughter, she's so rude to me. She's talking to me, talking back to me. And, you know, I just don't want to lose her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to lose my child. I don't want her grades to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So I can give you one example. I had a client whose daughter was being very oppositional and, you know, I want to have my way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I worked with the mother and I told the mother that when she has to do the homework, you are not available to her after noon on Sunday. She has to get her homework done before.
Okay.
Okay, now this girl was a teenager.
Right. Why did the parent need to be there? Just
The parents, children's schoolwork is parents' schoolwork. I mean, Indian parents are so engaged. I have had people talk to me about, you know, we've got the science project. We've got the science, you know.
My child's exams are coming up. It's like,
My child's exams are coming up. I cannot do anything. I cannot plan anything mm-hmm. during that time. So the mother told the daughter that I'm not going to be available afternoon. You have got to get everything done. Of course, you know, she watched TV, then she went to the mall. And at 6:30, she told her mother, I need to go to the library to get a book. Okay, mm. Mom said, I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and she got really angry, you know, I'm not going to get my homework done and this and that. And then in the morning, she was very grumpy.
Right.
Mom stayed put. She didn't, you know, she didn't help the child. And if I fail this class, it will be your fault mm-hmm. and all that. Mom kept her cool. Next Friday again, mom said very clearly, you got to get your homework done before noon.
Mm-hmm.
And the child again, you know, she
pushed
the limits.
So here's another example of have a consequence and then enforce the consequence.
Enforce the consequence. And, you know, be prepared that maybe the grades will be bad.
Right.
That quarter.
It's still worth it.
It's still worth it. Mm-hmm. After a month, the child was taking all the responsibility. The work was getting done. Things had changed.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had more respect for the mother.
Right, because she meant what she said.
Because she meant what
she said.
Was
it too late? Now, here's a parent who had been following a certain style probably till the child's teenage years, right? And you're coming into the picture at teenage, when mm-hmm. the child is already a teenager, and the mom is now following a different style. Is it okay to change styles at that point? Is it not too late?
It's never too late to mm-hmm. do it, because you are going to have a relationship with your child for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, once you are a parent for life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, this just gives rise to really good relationship going forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Actually, I'm a mother myself, and my daughter is grown up, and I, you know, like Kavita, I did not know about authoritative parenting when I was parenting my child.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to my daughter one time, and I said, you know, we had a pretty good relationship, didn't we? And she said, yes, Mom, it went like this. You would say, did you hear what I said? I'd say, yes, why aren't you doing it?
Yes, so, I totally can get that. Happens in my household.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's, you know, and then of course, like Kavita, I learned because mm-hmm. I was going to school, and I have the best relationship with my daughter that I have had in my life.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we had talked earlier before the break about different parenting styles for different kind of kids. And I want to elaborate on that maybe one style doesn't suit everybody, or will the style you're suggesting, will it suit all kinds of kids? Because you could have kids who are very stubborn, who are just, again, as you said, then have a power struggle. And then what is the approach for them? You could have a child who's very soft, very easily bullyable in a sense, you know, very moldable and malleable. And would a different style work for them? You know, and you could have a very argumentative child who's like, why all the time, and would a different style work for them? So could you sort of break it down to for each kind of personality, child's personality?
Yes, and you know, children, if children's behavior is normal, okay, mm-hmm. by normal I mean children are curious, children like to try things, they're trying to solve problems, they try one thing, it may actually not be the best solution, mm-hmm. but that is how they learn. However, sometimes children misbehave,
mm-hmm.
and when they misbehave, then usually their misbehavior is guided by one of four motivations.
Okay.
Either they're seeking attention,
mm-hmm.
or they're seeking power, or they're being revengeful, mm-hmm. because they're angry about something, or they're displaying inadequacy.
Okay, what do you mean by that? That displaying inadequacy?
I am never going to get an A grade. I'm just going to flunk this course.
Is it self-esteem?
The difference between self-esteem is more pervasive.
Mm.
Inadequacy may be topical.
Okay.
Okay, I'm no good at sports.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
So they don't even try, basically.
Right.
Okay, now what is the goal of that behavior? You know by paying attention to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how are you feeling when the child is displaying that behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling annoyed? If you feel annoyed, mm-hmm. then the child is seeking attention.
Okay, that is so interesting. Okay,
absolutely.
So you have to judge by your response what the child is.
Absolutely. Your own feelings, your own reaction is an indication of what the child wants.
Fantastic. Okay.
So if you feel angry,
then
the child is seeking power.
Okay. Annoyed, if you're annoyed, the child is seeking attention. If you're angry, the child is
seeking power.
Okay.
If you feel angry and hurt,
mm-hmm.
then the child is seeking revenge.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you feel helpless, then the child is displaying inadequacy.
So tell me what the parent can do in each situation.
In each situation, if the child is seeking attention, do not give them attention at that time.
Okay.
But make sure that you make time in your day to provide healthy attention to the child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that the child is...
Give me an example.
So an example is, you are on the phone and they're like, Mom, I want this. Honey, I'm on the phone. Wait for a minute.
Right.
Child waits for a minute. Mom, I'm hungry.
Right.
You know.
And right.
The child keeps on doing that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So then, at that time, you can say, I need you to go in the other room, or take the phone, go in the other room, close the door and say, I'll talk to you when I'm done.
Right.
Afterwards, come and say, what do you want? And by that time, he may have forgotten what he wanted.
Right.
But so at that time, you ignore that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But in the evening, sit down with him and say, so, honey, how was your day today?
Okay.
What did you do? Let's see. You know what happened with mommy today? This is what happened.
Okay.
And, you know, so-and-so's cat ran away and they were looking, you know.
Something. Just make that connection.
Make that connection with the child.
That's the first one. What about the next one?
The
if you're
power,
angry. Yeah.
If you feel angry, you can give the child choices,
mm-hmm.
right? You can say, well, you know, I'm just going to listen to this music and I'm going to listen to this music really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can say, you know, you can listen to this music. You can either turn it off or you can put headphones on.
Right.
Okay, close the door.
Mm-hmm.
You can give them choices, but again, it's never a good idea to engage in a power struggle.
Mm.
I don't like this music. Turn it off. Does not.
Not a good response.
Not a good response.
Right.
And just leave the room. And, you know, when there is nobody responding,
mm-hmm.
the power struggle is not there.
Right.
But later on...
So parents take their own time out.
Yeah.
I'm taking my time out.
Exactly.
I'm out.
But after that, give them more responsibility. Because power struggle is about their wanting to be able to do more.
Okay. So how would you do that?
Responsibility. You can... You know, one of the things we tell parents is to have weekly meetings. Mm-hmm. Family meetings.
Okay.
Okay, in which everybody has a voice, everybody gets to say what they want to change, what is working, what is not working. They take responsibility, they review
mm-hmm.
how the week was. And, you know, that family meeting needs to be like a meeting,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a work meeting. There's an ongoing agenda to the
mm-hmm.
meeting. There is a time and, you know, things like that and follow through action items.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So everybody is on the same page.
What about if your child is revengeful and you're angry and hurt?
So revenge is usually a result of a lost power struggle.
Okay.
Okay. So when the child is revengeful, you may reflect their feeling.
Okay.
I think you are angry because such and such a thing happened.
So acknowledgement of their feelings.
You can acknowledge
feelings.
And then again you can also walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to deal with your own hurt.
Right.
Right. And in the future try not to get into power struggles.
Right. Right.
Okay. Inadequacy is the worst of all.
Hmm.
Because parents feel totally helpless.
Right.
And in that case, what they can do is divide and conquer.
Hmm.
Help them divide the problem into smaller parts,
mm-hmm.
and let them kind of overcome one part at a time.
So your child comes to you and say, I'm no good at sports.
Yeah.
What do you do? It's a just practical example.
You say, okay, you know, maybe we can just try with something. So let's say he wants to play tennis and he says, you know, I'm not able to run that fast. And you can say, yeah, but you know, the other kid you were playing against was also, you know, 2 years older than you, or he's also bigger than you, and people have their own growth patterns. You know what? How about you and I go to the park on Sundays and we'll rent that ball machine and you can hit
practice.
A few balls, practice
right.
there.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe I'll practice with you too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I think
yes.
It's time for another break. Listeners, if you have questions for Sushma or Kavita, please give us a call at 510-770-1550. Today we've been talking about discipline in the house. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about it. Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm Vidya. I'm here with Sushma and Kavita, and we're talking about discipline in the house. We've learned some really interesting things today. So for those of you who missed the show and want to catch up on what was being said, please do check in at the indiacc.org/parenttalk page. And the recording will be up shortly after that. As always, this is a live show. If you want to call in with your questions, the number is 510-770-1550. 510-770-1550. Kavita, just want to use your experience as an educator and ask, how does the discipline in the house impact the child's behavior at school and vice versa?
Before I address that question, I just wanted to, you know, the last piece when Sushma was talking about the parents' reactions and the children's behavior,
mm-hmm.
it was really fascinating, and a couple of things came to my mind. One is one very big reason for power struggles, and this is how when, you know, parents came to us with concerns,
mm-hmm.
the ones that you raised, from my experience, this is what we shared with them, and I think it really helped them, is that we feel as a parent, all the power belongs to us. It's our, you know, control is ours. There's no harm in letting a little bit of that go.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you decide if it's a life-threatening situation and the child wants to run on the road. You know,
obviously.
You're going to
obviously.
But if it's like, for example, doing your homework, like you were pointing out, and, you know, instead of telling them, you can't watch TV till you do your homework, which is a threat. It's a negative statement.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make all your statements positive.
Okay.
Once you do your homework, you can watch TV. It's amazing how the same thing puts the control back in the child. It's
mm-hmm.
his decision or her
right,
decision
right,
now
right.
that if I want to watch TV, and it's a natural logical consequence, if I don't do my homework, I can't watch TV then. So,
but you haven't stated it that way.
You haven't stated it.
Right.
You know, and it's just that little switch. It's amazing what a difference of perception that is for the child, where the child gets to say, okay, you know, once I do my homework,
mm-hmm.
so if I don't do it, like Sushma in the example said, then sorry, you know, you don't go to the library, you can't
right,
do it.
Right.
And then you do have to let them suffer, and it's very hard to see your child suffer.
Miss those grades. Grades are important,
grades,
as Sushma said, grades are important
right.
to us sometimes more than it is to the kids.
Absolutely.
Actually,
and you have to let them learn. And it's hard. But like Sushma said, if you're consistent and you follow through, after some time, things do fall into place. And the second thing I wanted to say is, depending on the age of the child, if you have a 2-year-old child and his friend is coming and he said, you know, when he comes, you have to share the new car that you got.
Right.
Is that expectation realistic? You know, as an adult, if you get a new Mercedes car and you are asked to share it with your neighbor, you would not want to do that. So till you own something, till you possess it, you're not ready to share.
Right.
So if you tell the child, you know, once you're done playing, you can give it. And in my experience as a teacher, it's amazing. Sometimes within 30, 40 seconds, the child just hands over the thing.
Because so long as it's his or her decision and not the parent's
absolutely.
Decision.
And the child decides when he or she is ready to share.
Right.
And sometimes it's, you know, you shouldn't make life hard for yourself. Like, for example, in a school, if you find one particular toy is really, really popular,
mm-hmm.
just get more of that, you know.
Right.
You don't always have to take the hard road, you know. So you have to be realistic in your expectations from the child, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't expect them to be able to do things which sometimes as an adult you are not, you know. Like we tell them, you have to eat this, you have to do this. How would you feel if somebody says you cannot eat your dessert till you have this? So, you know, just be a little realistic and, you know, make sure you're consistent and you follow through.
And I think this is a very much a cultural hangover because, and this is a question that puzzles me. When we were growing up, as you said, children were seen and not heard, and your parents lay down the rules. And I think we, maybe till I was a teenager, way into teenage, I never actually thought of questioning. But here you find that kids do question a lot. Is that also something they're getting from the school, that empowerment they're getting from the school, and they're like translating
right
to the home?
And initially, like, you know, you may say, how come he or she is questioning my authority? But asking a question results in independent problem solving, you know. We as children were not, at least for me personally, was not allowed to develop that skill because we were not supposed to think. We were supposed to do,
right,
as we are told. Whereas here a child is made to think. And sometimes it could be, you know, I mean, why is he asking so many questions? But if you try for that moment, you know, try to listen to what the child is saying. And that reminds me, there's a wonderful book that I read as a student, which kind of really changed you. I'm sure you're familiar with the book, Sushma. It's called How to Talk So Children Will Listen and How to Listen So Children Will Talk. It's a extremely simply written book.
Please send me the details. We'll put it up on the website.
I will.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, little comics and little vignettes. And when my son was 8, you know, because of babysitting problems, I used to take them with me to class. And he read the book with me and he used to say, Mom, you're trying the child development stuff with me, you know.
He was smarter than you at that point.
Yeah. Right.
But I also think that I look back at the way I disciplined my kids, and some of it, of course, was a cultural hangover. But some of it was efficiency and speed, because sometimes you just tell them, please get this done so that we can move on. Because, you know, we live, I think, very scheduled lives, and sometimes there is no room for this consensus building in the house before some actions can be taken. Do you think that that's some of the what's driving us to be completely, get this done? Because I know, I've been through this. I know this is the right way to do it. Let's move on because of the time.
But the truth is that in the long run, it is much easier for you.
Absolutely.
If you get into this authoritative parenting mode, it's much easier. You don't have to worry about cleaning your child's room. You don't have to worry about their homework.
That's true.
You don't
That's
have to worry
true.
About the laundry. They do half the work in the house and they don't complain.
Also, the power struggles will be less because
later, as you
you've
grow
already
up.
Laid the pattern, you know, so you won't be engaging in all those time-consuming struggles because the child knows if you've said it and this is the rule, then you're not going to budge. So there's no point arguing, right?
Right.
Because you've laid the boundaries
so,
and they respect you for that.
So what I hear from that is the rule setting that you do, that, okay, this is the rule.
Uh-huh.
You do it, first of all, there's some consensus in approach arriving at the rule.
Right.
But very few times. You don't do it very often. That you keep that rule setting, the rules of absolute behavior, that is absolute rules, are not that many.
Exactly.
Would that be the right way to say it?
Absolutely. But when the rules are there, curfew is at 11 o'clock.
Right.
It's not 11:30 or 11:15. It's 11 o'clock.
Right.
Okay, your cell phone budget for the month is $20. It's not $25. It's $20.
Right.
You know, Mom, I just went over $2. What are you going to make that up?
How are you going to make that up?
How are you going to make that up? You know, so those, when the rules are there, you enforce them.
Rules
are, you know.
And like
do that with respect.
Right.
Do that with respect and kindness. And
hopefully you arrived at the rules without conflict. I mean, in the sense the child has bought into the rule. In the
Absolutely.
Sense.
Right.
There has to be an agreement on what the rules are.
Right. Yeah. And like you were mentioning, you choose, rather you save the times where there is no discussion, very few. So you're not
Pick your battles.
Pick
sir.
Your battles, exactly.
Your battles,
and
yeah.
save them for very special crisis situations almost, when then there is no discussion, you know.
Well, is because I said so ever an argument that's effective?
Yes. In frustration, I'm sure after a point you said, you know, that's it, because I said so. But then again, you know, you just save it for times where you know, it's an emergency. And, you know, if you're not going to run on the road, then in that case, because I said so, you just have to hold my hand.
Right.
If it's a three-year-old.
And you can't really explain to them the consequences really well. So is there an age at which I said so is effective?
The thing is that children also push the limits.
Oh, they do.
They need to find out. And they're very good at figuring out when the parents has had enough.
Enough.
Okay, so your way of showing you have had enough, maybe because I said so.
Right.
Okay, with little toddlers, you can say, okay, I'm counting.
Right, right.
Mommy, don't count. I'm coming. Because that sentence, it's not the counting per se, but that sentence becomes, you know, symbolic of I have had enough.
Right.
Okay. So,
but is it okay to let the child know, in a sense, haven't you exposed your vulnerability at that point, or your weak point, that
it's
you have
okay
had it?
It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's parents don't have to be perfect, and parents don't have to be all powerful. Right. So it's okay. It's okay to say I've had enough, but don't use it as
your standard
method. It is I am at the limit. I'm tired.
Right, right.
That's okay.
Kavita, as a parent, you know, are there things you wish you had done differently? And have you learned something from your experience that you can share with our listeners?
Differently, yes, I just feel that, you know, we put a lot of burden on ourselves as a parent, you know, that we have to always, like Shushmash said, make the right choices, be in control. It's okay once in a while, you know, if you feel that, you know, you've had a hard day or you're tired, and, you know, just be open and honest with your child and say, you know, I'm really tired today. Do you think, you know, just be and have an open, again, depends on the age of the child.
I have another question, sort of a corollary to that, that you have, say, certain rules in the house. Say the rule is not more than 30 minutes of TV a day, and then maybe a couple of hours, or an hour on the weekend or something like that. Say there's an occasion where the rule has to be broken because guests are there or something, because this happens. We are human beings and the rule does get broken sometimes. Is that a problem? Let's answer that question after we take this call. Welcome to Parent Talk. This is Vidya.
Hi, Vidya. I have a question for my son.
Okay, go ahead.
He's 15 years old, and whenever we talk to him, we end up doing an argument between
teenagers,
him and me.
What is the argument about?
Is it a, you know, common feature at this age or what?
What is the argument about?
I mean, see, for example, I told him, now the weekend is coming, you have so many, you know, soccer games, so plan your day accordingly, plan your studies, and his argument is always, I know what to do.
Okay, so do you think he's not planning his day?
Sorry?
Do you think that your son is not planning his day properly?
He does, but, you know, he always listens to us, he's a good boy, but somehow, whenever we tell him something, he thinks, you know, he can, why we are always after him.
Well, if he says, I know, so you say, okay, that's good. You know, so he's taking responsibility for what he has to do. He's 15 years old. You told him, he knows that he needs to plan his day. Mm-hmm. So when you make that statement, you're not telling him something he does not know.
Okay.
So you need to figure out how you can have a more positive interaction with him about something else. So if he's going to the soccer game, can you talk about how that, you know, some kid who's on a certain position, how is he playing, or, you know, more substantive conversation about something that is of interest to him and to you.
Okay.
And not, you know, not something like, you know, because it becomes lecturing. You should plan your day. I know.
I want to share an experience there because I have a 16-year-old. And I used to drop him. I still do. I drop him to school every morning. And there was a time when the conversation in the car used to be, did you finish your homework? What's your plan for the day today? Do you have any tests today? Have you studied for the test? And it created a really dysfunctional situation. And my husband and I really struggled with it. And then we realized that, no, you know, we are not letting him be independent at all here. And he's 16. He should know by now whether he's done his homework or not. So now, during the car rides, what we do is we talk about music. We're listening to music. We talk about the bands. And I think he's so much happier for it because he's having a conversation with his parents, which is not related to his performance. So
Absolutely, you got it. That's exactly it. You can talk about music. You can talk about current affairs. You can talk about what's going on. And this is also a good time to pay attention to your child's affect. You know, when you're picking him up from school, for example, you know, is he looking happy? Is he looking sad? He's 16 years old. Has he broken up with some friend? Did somebody say something that hurt him? Because they're also very, very sensitive at that stage.
Right.
Right? I mean, I was talking to, you know, somebody told me that her 16-year-old son, she was dropping him at school and she thought that, you know, his eyes were welling up. And she asked him, she said, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and apparently he was interested in a girl and she was not interested in him and he was feeling really sad about it. So she said, you know, in the evening we'll go for a walk together. And, you know, she took him for a walk and I thought that that was just such a wonderful thing that they both, mother and son, they went for a walk mm-hmm. and then they talked about it. And, you know, she did not try to solve his problem, but she heard him.
Absolutely. I hope that helped. Let's talk about a couple of other things, which is what if you and your spouse have a different parenting style and the way you apply discipline is different?
Yes. Well, you know, that is, it's one of those things that if one of the parents has the style of a leader, that is authoritative parent, then that parent can really pull through. You know,
right.
even if the other parent has a permissive style or authoritarian.
But won't
or
the child try to play between the two parents, you know, play the one parent leader, against the other?
The leader parent can actually manage it. Okay. But if one parent is bossy mm-hmm. and the other parent is permissive, then yes, children do try, you know, they kind of play one against the other. They become a little sneaky about things. And it's really, parents need to be very, very careful about it, you know, because sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
And children also try to use the argument, it's allowed in my friend's house, or, you know, their mom yes. allows it. How come we don't allow it in our house? What is a convincing answer to that, other than saying, yes. this is my house, these are my rules? Is there a better answer?
Yes, and it also, you know, depends on what it is that they're talking about. If they're talking about
staying up late,
about
let me give you an example.
Staying up late mm-hmm. or watching TV, you
right.
can just say, well, you know, we don't allow that. But if you know, your daughter says, I want to wear a strapless dress to my prom, everybody else will be wearing it,
mm-hmm.
then you really need to examine it and say, okay, you know, what is it that causes you to not want it?
Right.
Okay, or, you know, things like that. That those are things that you need to really kind of come to terms with. And as far as, you know, staying up late and all is concerned, that's again a mutual rule making in the family.
Right.
Working together and figuring out why is it that you don't want her to watch TV too much or stay up late.
But, you know, I've had, like, arguments over this with my kids. And for the example, staying up late, my example is, hey, you know, you need your sleep because doctors say that, I'm being very reasonable
yeah.
here, right? And saying that children need 8 hours of sleep. So if you don't sleep at this time, you're not going to be, you're going to be tired in the morning. You won't be able to pay attention. Say, but she can do it but I can do it. And at that point, I think
yeah.
that gets to a point where you have to say, lay down the line. I mean, can you do it in a really, as you say, a leadership way, you know, so that
teenagers also have their circadian rhythm kind of starts to change a little bit. They like to stay up late,
right?
And you know, they're on a different cycle a little bit. But younger kids you can manage much more. They kind of agree. They're not that difficult. But teenagers, yes, you know, some of it is biology, some of it is just kind of, you know, a little age. And if they say, you know, I can stay up, you say, okay, all right, let us try it for a week.
Okay,
and
so let them fail.
You, let them fail. And
mm-hmm.
just say that, you know, just be honest with yourself. If you think that lack of sleep is coming in your way, then, you know, you may want to change it. But let us try it for a week.
Right.
It is not that you're saying it's okay forever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try for a week and see what effect it has on you.
So, this is a question that I think many Indian parents especially will resonate with, that is that how do you deal with backtalk from the child? How do you deal with a child who, when you're saying something, just throws it back at you? I think it's something that, as given the way we were brought up, it's very new to us and
yeah.
it's very surprising to us, and it immediately makes our tempers go up. So how do we deal with that?
Well, you know, backtalk may be for power play.
Mm-hmm.
If it is power play, walk away from it. A backtalk, maybe just that is how they're talking.
Right.
Okay, you may want to talk to the teacher to find out, is that their method? Are they being oppositional,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as the authority is concerned? Or is it your own sensitivity?
Uh-huh.
Okay, right. If it's your own sensitivity and it's not, then I tell parents, watch Home Improvement. See how those three boys talk to their father and their mother.
Right.
that is the environment your child is growing up in. That is what he sees in other households. It does not make it right for your household, but keep it in mind.
That's how it's going.
And I would say, what do you mean by backtalk? You know, it's more, it's not what the child says, it's maybe how the child, the tone of the voice, the body language, that irritates you.
Right.
And if a child has a genuine question, and, you know, for example, you were talking about going to bed, you have to be bed at 8 o'clock, and the child says, why, mom, why can't it be 9 o'clock? Would you think that's back talk? I would step back for a minute and say, you know, think about it, you know, depending on the age of the child, that maybe we can have a conversation about this, you know. Maybe it could be 9 o'clock, and like Shrismash said, you know, see how it works. If the child is not getting tired, he or she can cope up with the school the next day. They get that.
1550 AM, KCDG, San Francisco.
That rule is working for them or not.
Right.
I think that's a great thing, and I think we have no more time left, so I just want to quickly summarize what Sushma and Kavita have been sharing with us, which is, it's better to make the rules in conjunction with your child. It's better to let them fail, have the consequences, and let them fail. And discipline works best when everybody has bought into the rules. The rule setting works best when everybody in the house has bought into the fact that these are the rules and they are, in principle, okay with it. Yeah, would that be right? Yes,
yeah,
go ahead.
I just want to say it's not about failing. They don't fail. They just learn.
Okay.
They realize that, you know.
But consequences. They bear the consequences.
Yes. And empowering the children. I think that's really important too. Making sure that they have some say in what's happening to them.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sushma and Kavita. As always, a fascinating topic, and I learned a lot, I have to say. Next week, our topic is financial planning for our kids' future. Thank you both for your valuable insights. Listeners, to send feedback, or if you're knowledgeable about childhood matters and would like to appear on the show, please email me at radio@indiacc.org. Tune in same time, same place next week for another live show on parenting. Till then, bye-bye. किसी रोज तुमसे मुला